The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
It started as a whisper until you screamed it at the top of your lungs. We gained momentum. You made us unstoppable. We had a vision for change. You made it a revolution. We told you we are the future, until you told us the future is now.
We are NXT!
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the NXT Cast. I'm your host, Don DeLaRente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Miss Simi. How are you, Miss Simi?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you ready for Halloween?
I gotta work, so eh.
Okay.
Yeah. Can't really do anything anyway. It's Rona.
Right. Well, you can always, you know, take a chance, trick or treat, literally.
Nope.
And this week, to review the return of Halloween Havoc, we're joined by Mr. Samuel Kalunga, Mr. NXT. What's going on, Sam?
Yay! Don't you dare call me that. Mr. There ain't nothing else to watch on TV on Wednesday night.
Wow.
That's the reason why you're Mr. NXT. You've been converted. I told you it would happen.
Nah, only, it's really because there's nothing on TV.
Oh, it only took 6 years, Miss Simi, but it finally
happened. And happy anniversary, guys.
Thank you very much. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the podcast of the WrestleCast episode 289, where we celebrated our 6th anniversary. Myself, Sam, Jade to the Max, Mo to the underscore Reese, and Magnum Prime. We were all there. Shout out to Miss Didi Jonet. So just check that out if you haven't listened to it yet. We reviewed Hell in a Cell and Monday Night Raw and had a lot of laughs in between. So we're here to review the return of Halloween Havoc NXT edition. We start off first with the set. How did everybody like the set first and foremost?
I was a fan. I liked it.
All right.
Gave me the spooky vibe that I wanted.
Mr. Samuel Kalunga, did it give you the enough nostalgia?
I mean, they had the little goblin thing. They had it like on top of the trunk. You couldn't really see it, but it was there.
Okay. So we start off with Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano, NXT North American Championship match. Shotzi Blackheart, our host, spins the wheel, and this will be a Devil's Playground match. The champ catches Johnny with a pump kick. However, someone in a ghost face from Scream costume shows up and hits Damian Priest with a pipe. Johnny then nails a DDT off of the wheel and is confused by the person in the Scream mask who just walks off. So the person in the Scream mask returns with the tombstone from the set. Johnny smiles when he gets handed it. Then he hits Damian Priest with it, who was knocked off the set and threw another piece of the set. Johnny climbs down from where the wheel was, covers Damian Priest, and Johnny Gargano is your new North American champion.
Oh.
Well, they really are passing that title around, aren't they?
Well, it's the biggest title on the show right now because Finn is hurt, so.
I wanted Damian to retain.
He had two title defenses, one on NXT, one on pay-per-view.
So, can retain again.
I'm just trying to gauge, like, kind of what if, you know, are they kind of using a new formula for, you know, championship reigns and things? But how do you like the match, though, even though the outcome may not have been what you wanted?
Really like the match. I think Damian Priest and Johnny Gargano have a good chemistry together. And Damian Priest is just so good. So I really enjoyed the match. He didn't wear the white gear again. Damian Priest,
Maybe that's
his stop downfall. Denying what I want.
See, maybe that's his.
See, that's what it is.
Right.
See, if you would give me the chainmail white with the peekaboo thighs, you would win. I did enjoy though when Johnny hit him in the head with the with that tombstone. Like nobody got turned into a jack o' lantern like I wanted, but at least there was tombstone. I just wanted somebody to get hit in the head with a pumpkin. All I wanted. Didn't give it to me, but they gave me a tombstone shot.
Or they could do the spot where, like, you know, the trash can spot where you put the trash can on them and they run around like, oh, what's going on? But instead of the trash can, it's the pumpkin.
Exactly. Give me Halloween, guys.
Mr. Kaluga, your assessment of Damian Priest and Johnny Gargano?
It was okay. I mean, yeah, it was just okay. It was pretty cool. They had some pretty cool spots in there.
Yeah, Damian Priest is very good. Johnny Gargano shows up for a big match like this. I really enjoyed this nice opening match. Vic Joseph is dressed as Waldo from Where's Waldo? While Wade Barrett is dressed as Bad News Barrett.
That was fun.
It's funny. It took them an entire match for like Wade Barrett to like. To like mention his costume, like they've been sitting there for a while.
You
know?
Yeah,
I don't know where he's like. Oh, what are you wearing?
Right, I was just like, he's just in a regular ass suit, and then like I peep the gavel like at the end. I was just like, oh, come on, Wade.
He could have played that. He needed the cherry picker. He needed the riser.
Yeah, he needed to just come on and be like, boo, boo.
Wade Barrett gives the bad news to Vic Joseph that he lost the costume contest. So we see Pat McAfee walking through the hallways with Danny Burton.
Oh, hold on. Can we speculate on who the Ghostface is?
Well, let's do it at the end.
Oh, okay.
Because they make two appearances. Spoiling.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Oh, thanks a lot.
So we see Pat McAfee walking with Danny Burton, Oney Lorcan, as a recap last week's main event. Backstage, my man, Cameron Grimes. Is freaking out about his match tonight. William Regal tells him that he needs to get to a car that will take him to where Loomis is and to where the match is happening. Regal says that he needs to go to the parking lot. Cameron Grimes says, no, that's the most dangerous place in all of wrestling.
Exactly.
I need to go out there.
Somebody knows.
I love Cameron Grimes.
So do I.
In the ring, Pat McAfee is with the new NXT Tag Team Champions. He puts himself over as having the greatest debut in history, saying most fans, even if they're idiots, agreed. He says Adam Cole beat him, but didn't congratulate him or anything like that. He just stood over him and posed. Pat McAfee went out and did a bunch of things like Sirius XM Radio, College Game Day, and more. He says he didn't have the talent for Adam Cole, so he called up Ridge Holland and gave him a Mercedes to handle his light work for him. But he said he saw Ridge Holland get his leg broken in 7 different places. So he hit up the man who actually did it, and see if he wanted to be down with the team. But at first, they was like, nah. So then he said he saw Undisputed Era getting another title shot, he was like, yeah, they had a change of heart. So, with Ridge Holland out, Pat McAfee said he decided to go another route. That's when the Undisputed Era music hits and Kyle O'Reilly comes out all by himself. But before he can enter the ring, Pete Dunne's music hits.
Yay!
He follows suit with 2 chairs. Pete Dunne's been working out, boy. He's all jacked up.
Right? He got a little bit more neck. I'm like, all right, Pete. See you.
He joins Kyle O'Reilly in the apron and hands Kyle a chair. They enter, and Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch, and Pat McAfee back out of the ring. Then Pete Dunne cracks Kyle O'Reilly in the back with the chair. Pete Dunne adds a super kick as McAfee, Lorcan, and Burch re-enter the ring. The 3 wrestlers beat on poor Kyle O'Reilly as McAfee trash talks him. Pete Dunne does a joint manipulation, then stomps on the arm on a chair before the champions hit a tandem DDT onto a chair. And the new faction, Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch, Pete Dunne, with, I guess, Pat McAfee as their manager, stands tall.
Oh. Pete Dunne versus Kyle O'Reilly is going to be good.
Yeah, it is. They got me. They got me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I popped when Pete Dunne, I was just like, Bruiserweight is back. And then he hit Kyle O'Reilly. I was just like, well, I mean, Kyle kind of deserved it. That made that boy's life hell. Woo! Roddy turned on him. They were beating him up every which way. So, I mean, I guess it's just revenge on his part.
Right. Right. Mr. Sammy Colunga, your thoughts on that little piece of business with Pat McAfee and the tag team champs adding Pete Dunne to their collection?
I never could stand Pat McAfee. He's just really annoying. And it's not even in wrestling. Like, even like I've listened to his show before. He just like, he's just that same character even on his show. And he's just like,
really?
Dude, shut up. I just want to slap him.
He did talk for a while. I was like, you're going John Cena long. Wrap it up, Pat.
Yeah, he's the same. He's the same persona on his radio show.
Oh.
Backstage, Cameron Grimes says he'll take a loss instead of fighting fighting Dexter Lumis. He wants William Regal to join him, but of course Regal declines. So a white van pulls up to get Cameron Grimes. He's freaked out that the person sitting shotgun looks very creepy. The doors to the van bust open, and out pops Michael P.S. Hayes as Bad Street USA plays on the speakers. Grimes says he hates rednecks, and he gets in the van.
See, this is when I would have just gone home. You better call Uber, go home. If I said I'm not going to no creepy house, I'm not going, William Regal. You find me 5,000, I don't care. There's a zombie in there, I'm not going. I'm going home. Shouldn't have gone. I wouldn't have gone in that car.
Was that Kevin Von Erich riding shotgun, Sam?
It looked like it, but I don't think he would have come down from his castle in Hawaii to do just a little guest spot.
Yeah, but maybe.
Maybe
if P.S. asked him to.
Maybe he came down for a Trump rally or something. I don't know.
Oh.
But yeah, that was pretty cool with Michael Hayes doing the Bad Street for Halloween. So we return back to the arena. We have Jake Atlas versus Santos Escobar. Escobar is wearing gear honoring Rey Mysterio from Halloween Havoc 1997. Atlas
he should have come out as King Cuerno.
Inside reference there for all the Lucha Underground fans.
Atlas hits the
cartwheel DDT, but Legado del Fantasma put Escobar's foot on the bottom rope. As a referee argues with them, Atlas takes them out with a topeak on Hilo. Mendoza then clocks Atlas with the headbutt from the loaded mask. Escobar plants him with the Santos driver, and Santos Escobar retains, or this was a non-title match, so he defeats Jake Atlas.
I enjoyed this match. It was a nice little match. I like Jake Atlas. I want more with him. I really like him, and of course I love Santos Escobar, so this was a fun match. I like this. And I didn't think Jake Atlas was going to die, so that's another good thing. So, like last week.
He didn't do too much that was putting himself in peril, so yes.
Right.
So great for sure. Now, Miss Simi, this is right up your alley, what we're about to talk about next, because you've been critical of this person and their speaking. So we'll see how you feel about this. A video package airs where Ember Moon talks about how Dakota was a scared girl the last time she was around. She has a good kick, but it won't be enough to put her down. You know, Ember Moon. what do you think?
I enjoyed this. See, she's better in these like packaged like promos. It's just like when she gets in the ring and she kind of has to fly off the cuff that sometimes it's a little near. But this was really good. I think Ember Moon and Dakota Kai is going to slap. It's going to be a great match.
All right.
So I enjoyed this a lot. I was here for it.
Samuel, any thoughts about Ember Moon and her new look, and you know, since she's been hurt and come back to NXT?
Yeah, it's a little, it's different, but I guess it's cool. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
All right.
A ringing endorsement.
Cameron Grimes versus Dexter Lumis.
Come on now, Don. You got to say it. You got to say it right. You got to say it right. Cameron Grimes.
So we have a cinematic wrestling match here. Cameron Grimes shouts at Lumis as he walks around. Grimes gets scared by a deer head on the wall and a tricycle riding by its own. Cameron Grimes asks, "You got kids?" He finds a referee facing the wall, and he turns to him, and he has this weird, scary face.
This scared me a little bit. Because I wasn't expecting. I was just, oh, shit.
That whole facing the wall thing is like a really, really light reference to the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah. And I was just like, ah, shit. She's in the corner. She's here.
Loomis enters and attacks, but Grimes escapes. He finds a room with a silhouette in the shower and thinks it's Dexter Loomis's sister, so he tries to join her. He pulls back the curtain. It's a spooky demon-looking girl bent over backwards. Grimes keeps running away, and he's being chased by all the spooky things from the house. Loomis is in the van when he gets there, so Grimes runs out and into the woods, and it is to be continued.
I enjoyed this. I enjoyed, like, every single second of this freaking out. Made me happy. And the zombies were, that was really good makeup. I was just like, ooh, this is a little scary. I enjoyed this.
Come on, I was thinking, you know, they got the top production.
It was great. I love Cameron Grimes, man.
Raquel Gonzalez versus Rhea Ripley.
Big woman in this competition.
Ripley looks almost shocked right now that these clotheslines aren't dropping Gonzalez.
Well, Gonzalez has never been hit like that in her life, but somehow staying on her feet once again. Off her feet. Rhea Ripley, the power and strength of this lady is unreal.
Well, how about the power and the strength of Raquel Gonzalez on display in this matchup? Another miss. And look at now Ripley picking up speed and hits a drop kick. And that's Ripley showing some of her natural athleticism.
Two statuesque athletes here right in front of our desk.
A combination of power and acrobatic movement.
Absolutely, and speaking of which, oh my.
Caught Ripley in mid-air.
Just got caught, and now gets pulled off.
I never like this when you got two bigger athletes up there. This never ends well.
And right now, Gonzalez, I mean, Beth, this could be the end of Rhea Ripley.
This could be a crash and burn for Ripley, the former NXT Women's Champion. She's got to shift her weight here.
Ripley doing her best to fight free, and now it's Ripley. Just,
fighting up with those
elbows. Wait a minute.
Oh, my
word. Does Ripley have enough to deliver a riptide? Ripley trying her best. Gonzalez able to fight free.
That lower back of Rhea Ripley is hurt.
You gotta imagine what's firing through the back of Rhea Ripley as now Ripley. Slight hesitation, and again, both these women slugging it out.
It's gotta be searing pain running up the back of Ripley and Gonzalez. Continuing to stay on her.
Well, a little bit of separation now as Gonzalez charging back in. Catching and tossing Ripley. This could be Gonzalez's moment. Biggest match of Gonzalez's career. And Ripley able to kick out. Trying to hoist up Rhea Ripley. Butt goes up, trying to go down. Nice counter. Almost a head scissors. Again, that unbridled athleticism from Rhea Ripley.
Gonzalez going for that single arm powerbomb. That did not pay off. There's just too much in the tank.
Kick and ace. And
here we go.
Trying to hoist up the riptide. Ripley connects into the cover. And Rhea Ripley proves her dominance.
Here is your winner, Rhea Ripley.
Woo! This was everything that I wanted.
Yeah, this was good. That was really good.
Loved it.
Did this and one again? Go ahead.
I was like, just saying, shout out to Miss Raquel Gonzalez again with the fashion, because that top, that was all Selena. I was just like, I see it. I peep the Selena fashions. I'm here for it. It was a great match.
Yes, sir, Mr. Samuel Colon.
Oh, this was less of a wrestling match and more like just like a display of power on both women. You know, this is like a the warlord versus like the barbarian or something. But it was still cool though. I liked it.
Yes, it's what I like to call a women's hoss match. It's very rare, but yes, like Miss Simi has been asking for.
Yep.
Rarely get to see two of the bigger women face off against each other. It's always a size disparity for the visual, yeah, of course. But yeah, when these two locked up in the first like, mm-hmm, 2 minutes, it was like, oh yeah, this, yeah, is about to be real good.
Right. And I like that, like, every time, like, Rhea tried to, like, knock Raquel down and she couldn't, like, the look of surprise in her face because she's not used to that. I was like, yeah, I like it. It was a great match. I really liked it.
We see Cameron Grimes. He's shown just trying to make his way back to the arena on foot. Backstage, Drake Maverick is dressed as Hulk Hogan with his 2.4-inch pythons. Great. He keeps calling Mackenzie Mitchell Mean Jean, but she's like, that's not even my name, and she won't play along. So two guys dressed as the Giant and the Yeti show up and recreate Halloween Havoc 1995.
So you hear that, where they hump Hulk Hogan.
Then Killian Dane enters as the Shockmaster. However, he doesn't fall over because he doesn't want to. Drake is irritated that he won't have fun. So Drake puts on the helmet, and Killian Dane accidentally trips him. And then Killian Dane does the British Bulldog line of,
oh, he fell on his ass.
He fell on his arse. He fell on his arse. Yes, Sam, you have the floor.
Oh, this is great. That's all. I was saying they better have the Yeti out there in some form.
You got him. Miss Simi, did you catch this reference? Do you understand, nope, what we're talking about? Okay.
Nope.
You know, sure, you see how they rubbed up on Drake Maverick?
Right.
When the Yeti debuted, he put his arms around Hulk Hogan, and then the Big Show or the Giant came out, and he, mm-hmm, did the same thing, and it straight up looked like they were dry humping Hulk Hogan.
Oh, no.
They were doing this exact same thing, and it looked so weird during a live wrestling match.
And then,
but the Yeti was like a character. He was a character that they've been talking about it for like weeks and weeks and stuff like, mm-hmm, that. And like, yeah, when he finally debuted, this creature, this monster, it was a damn mummy.
Gross.
Like, it's the Yeti.
That's not what a Yeti is, guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, later, when he came back later, he was a ninja.
Oh, okay. So let's just keep being wrong.
Right. And then you know about the Shockmaster, right? You know what that was.
Nope.
Don Gitter.
Oh, Tugboat. Well, Tugboat was coming in. Hulk Hogan looking out for his friends. So Tugboat was going to come in, and he was going to be under this mask, and he was going to be, mm-hmm, the Shockmaster. And well, what was supposed to happen was he was supposed to bust down this wall and make like this, uh-huh, big entrance, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, when he bust down the wall, there's like a 2x4 or something across the entrance where the door frame was, and he tripped.
Oh no. Oh,
and his mess flew off.
Oh no.
So that's the reason why Drake Maverick was like, you're supposed to fall.
And I don't know, like, who's talking for him? Was it Ole Anderson or who?
Probably Ole Anderson.
He was like Ric Flair. And then he was also rebranded later on. He was a construction worker later when they brought him back.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that was the grand opening, grand closing of the Shockmaster.
Oh, no. I mean, everybody trips, guys. It's human.
No, this was an ugly trip. This was, you should go look up the video. It's funny. Okay. I even have a, because he had a Stormtrooper helmet on. Uh-huh. I have a t-shirt that I ordered off of Pro Wrestling Tees a while back. It's like the Star Wars font, but it says the Shockmaster.
Okay, sorry. My video randomly started playing.
Cameron Grimes arrives at the arena. Those weird zombies crawl towards him in the ring. Loomis shows up as the arena fills with smoke. He plants Cameron Grimes with the spine buster. The zombie girl starts running up and around Loomis's body before hitting a crossbody on Cameron Grimes. Loomis then puts him to sleep with his submission hold. As Dexter Loomis leaves, Grimes is left alone with the zombie girls, who dance around him in quite a creepy fashion.
Yeah, so Dexter Loomis is a zombie bender now. Like, he's just in charge of the zombies. I still don't know, who is this man? What are you about? God damn it.
He's
no. When he first started, I thought he was like a carnival barker or something. You know.
Yeah.
Like the guy who's like, yeah, he has like the little coin machine thing around his waist. You know.
Like yeah. It's just like, who are you, dude?
He's a weirdo. He's a freak.
He's something.
Lumen ass Loomis.
He is. He just stares. Just ugh, creepy. And now he controls zombies. I don't like that.
Tommaso Ciampa cuts a promo backstage saying that he doesn't recognize this NXT. The colors are the same and the talent is still high, but the attitude and culture is different. People are asking for opportunities and thinking they're owed things. NXT isn't about taking turns and it's not leaving the spotlight. Oh, he says NXT isn't about taking turns and he's not leaving the spotlight. He discusses Velveteen Dream. He says that he's 25 and full of talent.
Oh no, I just saw the Shockmaster trip. I'm sorry.
Oh no. That was on live TV. Yeah.
Oh no, his helmet is so glittery. Oh, he felt real bad. You can recover from that. Oh, you could have just rolled into it. Do a split.
Make it
seem like it's worth it.
How you gonna say he feel real bad and then the next
he
thing
did.
You say is, oh, but you can recover from that.
He can. I mean, it was bad, but he can recover it.
You should listen to the sound. You hear British Bulldog going, he fell on his arms.
On the Stormtrooper helmet. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's go back.
Tommaso Ciampa says Velveteen Dream is 25 and full of talent, but he keeps getting in his own way. He hit him with his cast twice, and now he's a dead man.
You got a lot of nerve talking about entitlement, Mr. Blue Lives Matter, Ciampa.
So that sets us up for next week, as Tommaso Ciampa will face Velveteen Dream, as well as Ember Moon will face off against Dakota Kai.
Okay, the way the graphic was on there, I thought like Ciampa was going to tag team with Ember Moon against the other two.
That wouldn't be bad.
That's what it looked like. Like, go back and look at that graphic.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Do a little New Japan tag team action before you get the singles matches. That'd be cool.
Yeah, but I'm on Velveteen Dream away from my face, so.
Okay.
No.
Hey, Jim Cornette actually touched on something that I didn't notice. But yeah, he's doing this weird overselling now, like he's trying to impress somebody.
Velveteen Dream?
Yeah, like look at how he sells. He's just like, ah, like he's going to die.
Yeah, he's fine for his life, but guess what? I'm going to remind everybody that you're still a pedophile. Get out of my
it's like somebody backstage told him, like, look, you got a lot of heat on you, so you better go out there and make every moment count.
Basically, you better wrestle like it's your life. Yeah.
So that brings us to our main event of the evening. Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae. Shotzi is here to spin the wheel one more time, and it lands on tables, ladders, and scares.
Commoner's glove match.
Candice goes for a kick, but Io traps her foot in a chair and does a Tanahashi dragon screw leg whip. Io misses the 619, and Candice hits her with the chair. From the apron, Candice hits her swinging neck breaker, Miss LeRae's wild ride, through two tables. Ghostface in the screen mask is back out, and she rolls Candice inside the ring. The mystery person then picks Candice up onto their shoulders and climbs the ladder. However, Shotzi Blackheart hits the ring to stop the shenanigans, hitting Ghostface with an electric chair drop. Candice then remains on top of the ladder, but she's out of it. She realizes that she's there, but reaches just as Io sets up a ladder next to her that is closer to the title. Io is knocked off the ladder, and Candice gets to the title, but Io shoves the ladder, sending Candice crashing through another ladder on the outside that allows Io to climb her ladder and retain the NXT Women's Championship.
Woo! I can't believe Candice had to die for this. Woo! She followed just like, oh no, she got murdered.
So did you see where the scares come in? The table letters and scare. When she pulled that letter out, and it was like a bag, and it was like a
dismembered thing. I enjoyed that.
I also liked how, like, later on, Io hit Candice, or she slapped Candice with one of the severed hands.
Yeah, that was my favorite part. Because, like, Candice dropped it, was like, ooh, an arm. Bang! Right in the head. Oh, it made me happy.
My favorite part was Shotzi Blackheart getting involved. Oh, didn't see that coming.
I like that. And Shotzi's costumes, I was like, man, you were like the exact right person to host this whole thing because those costumes were fire.
Yeah, Shotzi Blackheart, she has a very bright future in this business. Just don't get hurt between now and whenever that future is the present.
Yeah, basically.
So that was the return of Halloween Havoc NXT style. I'll go around the horn. We'll start with our guest, Mr. Samuel Kalunga. Your feelings, sir? What would you rate it? How many Sour Patch Kids are we going to give?
We're not doing that. I mean, it was just kind of, it was a little better than average.
Okay, so that would be 3 out of 5?
Sure.
All right.
4 out of 10.
Wow.
4 out of 10 Sour Patch Kids for Mr. Sam McClellan. All right, Miss Simi, your rating on Halloween Havoc?
I had a great time at Halloween Havoc. I should have watched this instead of AEW. It was great. I love Shotzi's costumes. Loved, like, she was just like, spin the wheel, make the deal. That was fun. I liked EO chucking a hand at Candice LeRae. That was funny. Cameron Grimes just made me real happy throughout this whole show. I enjoyed all the matches. I thought it was really good. I had a fun time.
All right. And I would concur with Miss Simi. I really enjoyed this return of Halloween Havoc. To me, Raquel Gonzalez and Rhea Ripley stole the show.
I think
they had just an awesome match. The main event was a heck of a main event, though. Candice and EO really pushed each other, and they had a great match, even though they might have been rushing some things to try to make it all fit in before 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
I thought they had a heck of a match. The Pete Dunne swerve on Kyle O'Reilly definitely got me. So I'm very interested to see where they're going to take this new Pat McAfee faction. They need a name.
Fast.
But so I'm very intrigued by that. And Johnny Gargano, with a little help from his friends, is the new North American champion. So we'll see who the person in the costume was or is. And at this point, Samuel Kalunga.
I think it's either Indy Hartwell or Tegan Knox.
I think it's Indy Hartwell.
Nah, it's definitely not Tegan Knox because she got too bad. She got a bad knee for real.
Yeah, she hurt.
Yeah, she really hurt. So yeah, it's probably. But she, that person looks. They must have had her in like
sweaters. She was in like a body cast or something, a body suit or something.
Yeah, because she looks swole.
She had extra padding.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But yeah, so good twists, good mysteries. Definitely missing Finn.
It could also be Mercedes Martinez.
No, maybe, but I don't think she would get down with Gargano's like that.
Yeah. Isn't she still in Retribution? No.
They keep her out.
Why?
Because they never really had a set lineup for
Retribution. Her name wasn't wacky enough. Like, her name wasn't like Toothpick or whatever.
Slapjack. Oh, I don't know why it's so funny to me.
Meat tenderizer.
But yeah, so definitely looking forward to where that story goes with Johnny Gargano and Candice. Since half of the little dream came true, we'll see how Candice reacts to Johnny being the champion and she didn't win.
Right. I bet she hates wheels now.
I wonder how long it's going to be before Finn Balor comes back. Missing
I know.
I miss show. That. Don't have the big title. That's probably what the show was really missing, was just a NXT championship match. But,
yeah,
you know, we got Jake Atlas and Santos Escobar slid in there, so we'll take it.
Yes, we will.
All right. So at this time, Mr. Samuel Kalunga, I'll turn it over to you, sir, for your shout-outs and thank yous.
Thank you guys for having me on here today. That's pretty much about it. Not much else to say right now.
All right. Thank you, Sam, for joining us as always. Again, you can hear more of Mr. Samuel Kalunga as he breaks down Monday Night Raw on our anniversary show of the WrestleCast, episode 289. You can find it right here on CSPN.us. All you have to do is just search the WrestleCast-CSPN through iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, all that good stuff. All right, Ms. Simi, your shout-outs and thank yous, ma'am.
Well, shout out to Samuel. Thank you for joining us. Shout out to you, Don, and the whole CSPN family. Shout out to Raquel Gonzalez for her Selena-inspired gear, because that was great.
I'd like to give a shout out to both Mr. Samuel Kalunga and Miss Simi for joining me here on the NXT cast. Thank you to everybody who showed up and had a great time in the hashtag this past week using the hashtag NXT cast. We definitely enjoyed your commentary with color, so continue to do so each and every week. Also, you can hear more from Miss Simi and myself as we are reviewing AEW over on the Patreon page. So go over to patreon.com/CSPN Media and you can hear our thoughts on AEW Dynamite each and every week. All you have to do is sign up to the $3 tier or the $5 tier, become an exclusive member of our Patreon page, and you'll get The Dark Match, Candid Conversations, Know the Score, Overtime. So there's more podcasts and content to be heard over on the Patreon page, but please sign up and support the podcast that way. Also, go over to CSPN.us, click on a tab that says Keep Our Podcast Free, do some early Christmas shopping through Amazon, help support your podcast through that. The WrestleCast and all the episodes and podcasts here on the CSPN will remain free. With a little bit of viewer help, all you have to do is just shop through Amazon and some of your purchase will come back to the show to keep everything running free as charge. So for Mr. Samuel Kalunga and Miss Simi, I'm your host, Don DeLorenzo. This has been the NXT cast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Happy Halloween!
Everybody walking around like they're owed something, asking for opportunity. Out with the old, in with the new. It's my turn. This ain't Monopoly. We ain't taking turns. You're hungry? You eat. I'm hungrier. I eat. Everybody wants to blame somebody else for what they don't have. Different locations, different voices, same message. Brass ring, glass ceiling. They're holding down my talents. I'm great. This tweet's gonna get me a lot of buzz. I've heard it all before. And I know this much. I was never handed anything. Never asked for an opportunity. No, I was simply undeniable. The greatest sports entertainer of all time, and for a very, very long time, Tommaso Ciampa was NXT. Fate took that away from me. And it's about damn time I take it back. Velveteen Dream, this all begins with you, a 25-year-old prodigy. Oozing it factor, who can't seem to get out of his own damn way. How's that old saying go? You hit me with a cast once, shame on you. You hit me with a cast twice, you're a dead man.